Merry Christmas, it's the time of the year when all good dreams come true. I look at all the toys under the Christmas tree. It makes me think about the way that things could be if people all over the world could just see them too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I feel you guys. You guys have the fire burning. Got the cocoa or whatever. I don't know what people have. Eggnog? Eggnog of the holidays? Is that what they have, Carolyn?
Cocoa,
eggnog, presents, family, friends, friends and family. Hey,
Patty.
Guys, you are listening to the one and only... Wait a minute, I gotta start this right. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show! Carolyn and Joe Show. Hey, guys. My name is Joe Carabell. I'm a filmmaker, a photographer, a creative genius, I guess. You can call me. I don't know. I'm a con artist at most.
Did you just call yourself a creative genius? I'm a creative genius.
Sitting across from me in the Stray Production Studio is the one and only, always beautiful, always enchanted, the greatest artist I have ever seen in my whole entire life. Carolyn Bilewski. How's it going, Carolyn?
Ever heard of Vincent Van Gogh?
No. I love this idea. Carolyn, who's in the studio? We can hear her laugh.
Oh, yeah, man. Second week in a row, Lauren Jaslow.
Hey, Lauren.
Hey.
Do that one more time.
Oh, that was like a Hacksaw Jim.
Hey.
We love the effects.
Lauren,
I love the effects.
On that subject, let's just dive right into it. On that subject of me calling myself a creative genius, have you ever had to write your own bio?
Nope.
I guess not. It took you long enough. See, here's the thing. Like, I've always had these. I've always been torn, just internally as a human being. But in writing bios. Because when you put your bio like online, or you have to give it to like a festival or something like that, it's always like, in a way, it's like, how do you really represent yourself? It's like, are we going to sell yourself? You know, I mean, you're being like, I've been the greatest thing. I do all this, that, and that. You know what I mean? And I find myself.
I think
this,
that's the time when you can kind of put humility and modesty to the side slightly, and just talk about the things you've achieved.
I mean, I think that's an issue.
It just becomes a fact. It's not really an issue of humility when you really have achieved. If you've had your paintings hanging on the wall of a such and such museum,
you're like,
go ahead and say it. It's part of your resume.
Part of the Sistine Chapel.
If you've rocked part of the stages, certain stages that are deemed like amazing or hard to get booked at, like, go ahead and say that.
If that's true. We've been on the front of the Black Cat stage.
That's right. We have been.
As Curl Studio.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We've performed at the Black Cat.
Yeah. That is true.
That is true.
How does Curls perform?
How does Curls not perform?
That's the question. How does Curls not perform?
We're always performing. We're circus performers. We're carnies.
Carnies, you know, small hands.
Now that we do have the Carolyn's news music, is there any, what is it? Positive posts? What is it called?
It's called positive. What did we call it last week?
What was it, Lauren? Was positive?
Oh, positive post.
Was it positive post?
Positive promotion.
Positive plug.
Plug.
Yeah. What's the positive plug?
The PP for this week. Man, putting me on the spot.
Don't say it like that. Put me on the spot.
What's the news?
The news, man. All this time I've been thinking about performing at the Black Cat. All
right.
I'm trying to think of like one thing I can plug that's cool. Okay, I found something.
All right.
I know it doesn't have to be an object each time, but...
Was it an object last time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The book.
And also, you know, somebody created the books. Okay, so this time I'm going to plug a company called Turtle Fur. And
Free promotion,
y'all. Turtle Fur makes really awesome hats. And I have a hat that it's like a neck thing, and then you pull it up over your head, and it becomes like a little shelter, too. So you're like a turtle. and it keeps me so warm. I know they have like regular hats that don't look as funny and stuff, but I guess some people might think I'm Islamic with the hat.
No,
but
that sounds awesome for like snowboarding or something, like to really stay warm.
I remember when Cooney first saw you wear that, it just, like, it just looks like it, like an Arab or Muslim.
I probably look like that.
But like, it's
people are probably like, "Who's that white girl?"
But you know, when you're like warm and it's cold out, I don't care. Like,
yeah.
I'll bundle up.
I actually sort of like really like it because like in a time where it's like this, it's cool because it's actually very adorable in like it's in its adorableness that everything's like super bundled up and we just see your face and it's like in this I don't even know what the Middle Eastern people call that.
Burqa?
The burqa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has its own like turtle fur burqa stuff.
Garb.
Or garb. Turtle burqa garb. You know?
That face is priceless. Burqa garb.
Burqa garb.
Yeah, so, but it, you know what? It keeps me so warm, and it, in a way, it is kind of fashionable.
It'd be awesome if all of a sudden you just get bombarded with all this free turtle fur because you... Positive post, positive promotion, turtle fur.
Positive plug.
Yeah, positive plug.
And then I don't know if it helps if I'm like, oh, I look like I'm an Arab or something, but...
Well, how else are you supposed to wear it? I guess you can wear
it
in multiple ways,
around,
right?
No, that's the cool thing about this product is that you can wear it around your neck, you can wear it on the hat, you can wear it both, you can pull it over your head, and they also have some that cover the full face, they have some that are just hats, they have some that are just neck warmers.
Would you say that
there's
this would be...
different types.
Would you
can
say
you
that
get
this
is... a half shell for like the like a backpack or something? Do
oh,
they have
be
that
so
line?
I'll be willing to
like
work with them
turtle?
To design one.
Yeah.
So
would you say that it would be a great Christmas present?
Yeah, it will keep you warm. I've had mine for like 2 years. It was the greatest. At first I wasn't gonna buy it because I was on a spending like ice freeze on myself and I was like, no more buying stuff for yourself. You know, like you have everything.
And then
this hat, we saw it at REI and I was like, man, I need something for the winter. And I'm like, this is really warm.
Is it pretty
like
reasonably
turtle.
Priced?
It was $25.
That's a lot.
But
is it a lot?
Worth it.
For
it
what?
It was like for the hat.
Do you think I should get a turtle fur?
Yes.
Should I get a turtle fur?
That's your,
I think so.
Your health and your
I think so. I think everyone should own a turtle fur. I really do think it's a necessity in life. It's like, if you live in a cold climate, you should have at least one turtle fur on hand at any time.
What's more expensive, a turtle fur or a scarf? I need one of those things.
But you can get the turtle fur and then have both.
The turtle fur is kind of replacing the whole scarf hat combo into one thing, so there's no gaps of air.
Exactly.
Well, would that look good on me, Lauren?
You want to try mine
have you
on?
Have you seen how hers is?
No, I haven't seen it. I'll have to check this thing.
Well, it's literally
but
like
I understand
a tube.
What you say. It's made out of fleece or something, or it's made out of fur.
It's not actually a turtle's fur.
Well,
but
turtles don't have fur.
I don't think you. I don't think you are asking that.
It's kind of like leather.
I think Lauren was. That was the best reaction. That was the best Valley Girl reaction I've seen Lauren ever do. Turtles have fur. Wasn't there? Weren't you gonna do something, Carolyn? Where you're gonna like talk in like a Valley Girl voice like all day?
I had a character. I used to have a character named Tiffany.
It doesn't compute
and
in my head though when you talk Valley Girl. I'm like,
totally,
what's happening?
I know what's happening. My name is Tiffany. I'm new to the Carolyn and Joe show, and I just want to say I'm so like glad to be here.
I'm so stoked about turtle fur.
Oh my god, like in Cali, like we don't even have snow, but like I saw this product online and I was like, oh my god.
No.
Carolyn was talking about this during her positive promotion thing and I was
like I'm Tiffany the turtle,
and I was like, oh my god, that's awesome too, because it's like the positive thing PP, and then like you also have TT, and I was like, oh
what
my
is
god
TT?
Tiffany turtle.
Oh yeah, Tiffany turtle. That'd be a good character name. Tiffany turtle, like Lisa turtle.
Yeah, like, and I was just like, man, I was stoked, and it came in the mail. I opened up the box, and like it was like Christmas, and
in California,
in Cali, and I was like totally stoked. And I went out to the beach, and I was wearing it, and like everyone's like, "What the hell?" And I was like, "Man, this is fashion."
Like, I want to go to California before it falls off into the ocean.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks I'm from California.
Really? Why is that? Do you talk in that voice?
No, and I don't think everyone from California talks like
that. You know,
that,
now but... that I think about it, you do sort of have, you can have that voice if you really wanted to. You can have the Tiffany voice if you wanted to. I bet sometimes if people talk in groups, if one person starts talking like that, everyone, all these girls,
there
are start talking
times
like that.
Definitely if I'm surrounded by multiple women or girls, it's talking girls. Like that, girls. It will. I'll suddenly say something like, "Oh my god," and I'll be like, "Oh my god, what did I just say?"
You've conformed.
It's kind of like, you know, like anything, you just hear it and you start to.
You know what though?
Like when I go down south, I'll all of a sudden be like, "Yeah, y'all," and I'm like, "What did I just say? Come on, y'all!" I'm like, "What? What did I just say?"
That's the best part, man. The best part is trying to keep like your own gimmick going, but you know you can't. You're gonna morph to whatever's around you a lot of times.
Yeah, it depends, but yeah.
Unless you're really strong about that.
I actually kind of like the Valley Girl.
Do you?
A little bit. It's kind of fun to be. It's like, oh my god.
Well, like, because of that one 5 minute, what 5 minutes landscape we had there.
I mean, like, I think it's all bubbly. The opposite it's like, of you that like the whole. It's just like to me over time. It sounds.
Did you know anyone like
it
that?
It sounds
more?
Like it. I know a lot of people like that, but it sounds like it lacks intelligence sometimes. You know,
and it's weird because it's such a positive thing.
When people say like way too much, or you know, they're filling. It's like, okay, complete your thought before you open your mouth and start talking. And with these girls, I feel like a lot of times they're just talking and they're filling the air with this chatter, and it comes, and then it's also at this high pitch, but you could talk in that voice. I can't even try to do it, but you can be saying something intelligent, but it's, you know, it's the constant time stalling with the, like, oh my god, this thing, like,
because when
it's
you
like,
say,
what are you trying to say? Like, get your message across. Let's consolidate your thought process.
Because the word, you know? Like, when you say like, and the way, even the way you delivered that, it's like you say like with the eyes up, and it's like you're thinking really hard, but you can't, nothing's coming out. That's what that like represents in a way, right?
I don't know what it's a culture though. I know that whole thing is it's part of a culture, you know, and. I think it's so funny. I mean, I know that I've talked to, I don't know if we've talked about this on the show before, but I know recently we've talked about Clueless because of Paul Rudd. That's one of my celebrity crushes.
And I love Clueless. Clueless is a wonderful movie.
Yeah, it's weird. And I know many people who, I have friends who that, you know, that was definitely their favorite movie growing up. I always thought it was funny. And then watching it as an adult now, looking back on it, It's funny to see Alicia Silverstone play that role.
Yeah.
But it's and she nailed it, you know.
Because it was so charming.
You know, it's interesting to analyze it from another perspective now. Like looking
how do you
I think that's a great
how do you analyze it at this point? Because that movie came out in 94?
Yeah, well if you look at 95? Her character, and I think this also is true for a lot of the girls that kind of talk like that, is they are this kind-hearted person. The bottom of their soul is this, like, they're a nice person. They're not really trying to harm anyone or talk shit about anyone necessarily.
Why not?
But they, you know, they are usually more on the affluent side of the spectrum and fortunate, and they have plenty of things, and they've had a nice life. And I don't know, it's part of whatever their culture they are a part of, and it's just this, it lacks real to me. That's I guess the thing that bothers me.
Because it's such a caricature of a person.
It lacks that realness.
And a lot of times that's
sort
of,
you have to like have nothing to really experience real. And then that voice, I bet you would go away. If you took everything away from those girls, things would suddenly be like, oh my god, so what do I need to do?
And like the
oh
vocals
my god,
drop.
What do I need to do? It would start that way until they were actually really, you know, until they really need to figure out what the hell they need to do.
I'd like to think that after a certain amount of time too, like, because a lot of times when you first hear that voice, the first time I ever heard that voice, of course, was from Cheerleaders. When you're surrounded by so much just like peppiness and cheerfulness.
I think they learn it from like TV and
but
stuff.
But Cheerleaders
like that,
where?
Though.
Huh?
At cheerleaders school? Where?
In like high school.
But what high school?
I mean, my high school, the one I went to, or any cheerleaders actually. Every cheerleaders I've run into, at least the more high profile cheerleaders.
White affluent cheerleaders.
Yes. Well,
talk like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't grow up in the streets.
Right. Yeah. Well, but I mean, like, you know, that, but it's the like, it's Hispanics, definitely part of.
I never really heard Hispanics talk like that. They'll probably be pretty weird.
Like the only Hispanic girls I know that talk like that are girls that are affluent and grow up around mostly white.
Yeah. Because that's a white thing.
Yeah.
Saying dude and stuff like that and for sure and like that's a white also, thing.
Yeah, I
that's
mean, a white and I'm such thing. A I'm so,
you're such a street you're a street think, smart person.
Me well, yeah. I won't lie on that one.
What about Clueless? Like one thing that
I love Clueless.
I never thought about until just now, but you know, we live in a culture that is all big on the sequels and part two and all that jank.
Yeah.
Are they making a Clueless 2?
No. I wouldn't want it now, but yeah. It makes me wonder why they never made one like a year after.
Whoever made it was smart.
Well, you know, they had a TV show that was based on it.
Oh, yeah.
The
did
same
they?
Thing. So that was
I remember the show.
And it
I liked it, man.
It wasn't the same character.
Oh, yeah.
Though, right?
They just did not have Alicia Silverstone. And Brittany Murphy. And I love Brittany Murphy.
That's the first time I ever saw her. She's passed away now.
I know, and I miss her a lot. That was the one.
And she passed away during Christmas time.
Probably.
Oh, really?
Between Christmas and New Year's a couple years, or maybe 4 years
like,
ago.
Like, when I graduated film school, that was like the first girl I wanted to work with was Brittany fucking Murphy. You know?
What about the black girl that was in that
Stacey
movie?
Dash?
Was she in the show? No.
Yeah, she was in the show. She? Yeah. That she's like the one that didn't make
it. I like her.
Whoever's in the show like didn't make it to the next level. Afterwards.
I wonder, like, where did she go? Can you work with her?
Stacey Dash?
I'll come in and help you.
I think
do whatever you need to do. I like her. She's
what are
awesome.
You talking about, Lord? Do whatever you need to do.
Well, I mean, I don't know what, you know, you bring her in for work. What do we do? What are we making
what do we
here?
Do?
Do you need me to write a script for her? Like,
oh,
what
you
do, I'll
write a
do
script.
It.
I bet you can write a script for her. I don't know what she's doing right now. You can be like Stacey Dash.
And now that I have a stray bullets, I can make you a, I can make you a,
storyboard,
yeah.
No, but like, I really loved Clueless because there's one thing. A lot of times when you see girls like that, they're not really looked at as like heroes or, you know, as like a pro and, you know, protagonist, so to speak. Yeah. But with that movie, you find out that like, oh, she does have a heart. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
She does do stupid stuff that she doesn't know she's doing stupid. But then the second half of the movie is trying to make up for that.
Right.
And the one thing is when you're going to high school and you meet girls like that who are also like probably the popular chicks,
mm-hmm.
they don't have those redeeming values. They just look down upon any outsider and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's why. But also that builds off of the idea of the most attractive things in the world are the things that you can't have. And that's why I feel like those cheerleader girls, those popular girls who acted like that were very, like, people, like, really wanted to be with them because they were untouchable.
Yeah.
You know, just because they're untouchable.
But the crazy thing is that the way she made herself seem in the public eye, she built all that from herself. Like, she sent
You're
herself
talking about
flowers.
Cher?
Yeah, she sent herself flowers on Valentine's Day. And
yeah, that was her whole plan and scheme.
But that's what I mean.
She knew
like,
how to play the gimmick.
Like, it was all, like, manufactured by her
Valentine's
to
yeah.
be
like she was
that.
Like, that's how she was. That's how she was trying to impress the guy that she liked.
How do you guys feel about Valentine's Day?
How do I feel about Valentine's Day?
Do you, like, celebrate it? Do you go do something in honor of Valentine's Day?
Sure, why not? Today. Everyone needs an excuse to do something.
Yeah.
I feel like I wouldn't, like, if I went the whole day without acknowledging it, it just kind of seems weird. It's
yeah.
like you have to at least be like, you know,
Happy Valentine's Day.
I guess,
yeah.
Draw a heart. You know, be like, it's heart day. Yeah. You know, guess, like,
yeah.
You can't just like go about the day and like pretend like it doesn't exist.
I think it's really annoying because that's cool. That's, to me, that's one of the original days. One of the original sort of holidays. It's a Hallmark holiday, but
yeah.
like, you know, you when sometimes
that's what
you,
bothers me about it.
But you earned those holidays. You earned the people. So many all these years.
Yeah, I don't like Christmas.
But
though,
but like the what's happening these days, I feel like there's so many just add-on days. Every day is a different day.
A different holiday.
Yeah, you go to a different state. It's like, oh, today is Lauren Jaslow Day in New York or something like that. they can just make those
Maybe
days.
Maybe one day people will have Mondays
You'll get
off in the federal
talk
government.
Like a pirate day.
Yeah, talk like a pirate.
Like Tiffany Day.
Yeah. And I'll have like if I ever get a day, that'll be like the day no one pays for taxes. that'll be awesome.
Like a
tax-free day.
Tax-free holiday or whatever.
Freedom Day.
Yeah.
Gov free day. How about that?
Government free day. Anti-establishment day or something.
No, but see, like, I mean that I guess we're gonna call it the Tiffany voice.
Yeah, we can call it that.
It's the Tiffany voice. I mean, there's ways that it can be like really like annoying, because in like growing up, when you have a bunch of girls talk like that, I always have this. That's called a sorority effect.
Ah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When it's just a group of like, I can feel like, all right, you're friends with, you know, you're friends with one girl, right? And that's cool because you have a rapport with that. But once you insert the rest of the rest of the other girls,
the pack,
the whole sorority pack, then you know she's gonna start acting different, and then they all have their own thing, and it's like, where do you fit in? I'm not saying it's horrible when that happens, but I'm saying that's where the challenge lies. It's like, it's like, is that the way she's acting with the group of friends, and they're talking with the Tiffany voice? Is that the true, you know what I mean? Is that the true friend? Is that the true person you know, or is that like the social, like, you know, when people smoke in the social gathering, though they don't want to smoke, but they're like, oh, let's all smoke. Is that the same thing?
I don't know.
It's tough. It's part of them.
People just need to, like, do what they want to do.
It's like how we were talking about last episode about the locusts. But what if, like, a whole bunch of sorority girls come at you?
That's my biggest fear.
That is a huge
fear,
too.
That's my biggest fear,
but
man.
But I could fight my way through that, actually.
I've told Brian, you know Brian.
I could handle that, I think.
I think this is where it all started. I don't even know if we coined it the sorority effect at this point. But him and I were walking down, like, a street in Richmond, right? And this, I guess there's sororities around there. And then, you know,
Not many, thank God.
But there was one. There was one.
Survived college.
And then I guess it was him and I, and then we had like someone else who was looking at the girls and the group of sorority girls that was walking by, and like, oh, here comes sorority chicks, man. They're gonna be, they look all so hot. And then when they come close, when they all come closer, they're all like ugly and hideous and fat. And we're like, oh no. And then we coined it like, that's a sorority effect. When you see them in a pack, and from far away, like, oh, they look all great because it's a bunch of girls,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just girls. And then when you come close, so many titties.
You come close, you're like, oh no, we're surrounded. It's horrible. So you can't trust it in the group, you know?
Can we tell the story go about ahead. At New York Comic Con, those two girls?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Brian saw these two blondes, tall blondes from far away.
Oh, we can't say just Brian. We all saw them.
Yeah.
But well, okay, we it was
Brian
Joe,
is the
Joe,
single
me,
guy.
And Brian. But Brian was the one that was like, really,
he's like, damn, he's like
yeah, because they're in cosplay, wearing scanty clad clothing.
Yeah, it was like cosplay,
and they're posing. They're hot. Posing with
they
somebody.
They were posing for photos, and they were like these tall blonde chicks. And then we get closer and closer, and as we're getting closer, I'm like, they are unusually tall. And then I get a little bit more closer, and I'm like, that's a man, and that's a man.
I remember there was that.
And then, like, I looked at Brian. I gave him a look that's like, do you realize what you were oogling at?
No, but you know what happened?
And then, go ahead.
There's another layer of story that happened before that. I remember, because that was that day where I was like, all right, Brian, you're just going to go gung-ho and
so
be
funny.
You're just going to be Comic-Con today. We're going to get you pictured with any random hot chick that's like around, because it's Comic-Con, right? This is why you came. So like at the end, you know, so then at the end, we're still in that groove. Let's go take your photo. And then we see those girls, right?
Yeah.
Or those whatever. And then I go closer to like to scope it out. And then I remember turning around and be like, no. It's dudes, man. He's like, are you sure? He went closer. He's like, look at the face.
He's like, are you sure?
He's like, and they were like, no, that's bad. I was like, no person should ever fall for that.
I was like laughing, and I was like, man, Brian was like, I was like, I can't believe that you're like, that's who he was liking from far away.
That was the same time
Brian's
we met.
Brian's gonna get so much shit from me the next time.
I guess like from far
he
away.
He knows that story well too well.
But they were tall, man. Like going from far away, and I'm like,
but
I'm
see.
Like,
it was really tricky because they were taking photos with people, right?
I mean, so they did a good job of looking like hot girls.
Yeah, I should have remembered, like, we're in New York.
That's awesome. God bless New York.
You can never tell sometimes.
I just think it's funny that Brian, like, can you imagine?
Don't even say that you weren't fooled. We were all fooled, man.
No, the closer we got, I was like, what? And then, like, but we were very far away. It was.
That's the freaking sorority effect, man.
Yeah, you're like, damn.
Bunch of Monet sorority effect.
Look at these hot guys. But then, you know,
smoke and mirrors, nothing like it.
That's right.
I think that Brian still should have taken a picture with them. That
we were
funny
we,
as
we
well,
were really
man.
Close. We're like, let's just do it anyway. We were really close, man. But then we got taken by like the other like the giant transformer that was dancing.
Bumblebee.
Yeah, we're like, let's go take our picture with that.
That's like that. When I saw at Awesome Con, and I had my little comic book kid moment of like seeing Beetlejuice, and it was such a great costume. I mean, I was like, I was totally speechless. Mm-hmm. You know, but that was actually a chick dressed as Beetlejuice.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know
really,
that.
You didn't know
that? I had no clue.
And I mean, that's what even once I realized that, I was like, that's even more fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of that with cosplaying now, just the girls dressing up like as the there's a word for that.
Female Loki.
Yeah, like the, but like the, when the females, the, I'm not a cosplay, you know, aficionado or know all the terms, they're all going to get pissed off at me now, but it's okay. I'm the most hated man in the world.
You are. I thought you were a creative genius.
I am, yeah, because I am a creative genius. I'm the most hated man in the world.
Some people hate you because you're a creative genius.
I've gotten that so many times. I've gotten this phrase that's told to me so many times, and I don't know how to take it, but I get this line. Of course Joe knows.
Of course
Joe knows how to do that. Of course he figured it out. I'm just like, what do you mean, dude?
I'm sure there's a lot of things that you don't know.
No, there's
so many.
You didn't
even know about the locust.
Yeah. Well, no, that was wrong. What are you talking?
He's like, of course I don't know about the Bible.
Yeah. Well, no, there's no giant. If you guys listened last week, we had a conversation that there's giant locusts that was being told in the Bible. No, there's not giant locusts.
Yes, there is.
No, there's many locusts.
Yeah, but you didn't know about that.
No, I knew about the locust. That's freaking in the Ten Commandments. That's in the movie.
I thought that you didn't know.
That's in the movie, the Ten Commandments, man.
Yeah, the Ten Commandments movie, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So maybe you did know. Now it's coming out.
Isn't there a cartoon movie of all of it? You know?
A cartoon movie?
There is like some cartoon movie. It was pretty mainstream, actually, that went through the seven.
They had the actual Ten Commandments with the.
Ten Commandments.
What?
What is that movie? It'll come to me. I'll think of it and say it later.
Ghost Dog.
Ghost Dog.
No, it was
ghost
like dog. Moses. It was
Moses and the Seven Dwarfs.
No, but I definitely see some sort of animated. That could be great. Moses and the Seven Dwarfs.
I like it.
Lauren,
I like that too.
Lauren, you went. I didn't know that you went to. I didn't know that you went to what's it called, to Catholic school.
Oh, yeah, I did go to Catholic school, just from 7th grade through high school.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's not like public school then?
No, I went to public school up through 6th grade, and my dad had passed away when I was in the 5th grade, so we used the money from Social Security to go to.
So was it just all majority girls?
No, it was boys and girls.
Boys and girls?
It was like 50-50, yeah. And St. Anne is where I went to for 7th and 8th grade. And that was very small. Like the entire class, like 7th grade and 8th grade, was only like 23, 25 kids, something like that. And then high school, I went to O'Connell, and that was more. We had like 400 kids in our class for that. But
how would you say your high school was? Because I know that's a different experience than
our
public.
Our demographics were pretty good for it being a private high school. We had a good number of minority students, like Hispanic and Black and Asian. Was pretty, you know, considering it's even better now. They've really upped, like they've really balanced the demographics there, so that I think
they're taken over.
It's even though it's like 50% white, it's also 50%, you know, what's technically considered minority. So yeah, but it was, I mean, Catholic school, I loved O'Connell. I love it more being away from it. I learned a lot. I learned more than a lot of people I know that are my friends from public school, just because it's so structured and it's so parent involved, not necessarily parent involved, but just like, if you're paying for your kids to go to school, you're definitely on their ass. Like, dude, did you do your homework? Or like, if you are failing a class, a teacher will alert a parent and the parents care. And so you're around a bunch of other kids whose parents are holding a little fire under their ass, you know?
Because you know why?
And it's like, everyone's like, oh shit, I didn't do my homework, or like, oh shit, you know, I didn't study enough, you know.
Because
so
that's the same feeling I had when I'm paying for college.
Yeah,
I was like, but I'm paying for this,
right? Sure.
Why are we, you know, the last thing I want to do is waste money.
Sure, sure.
So I feel like that's probably how the parents and everyone else, yeah, is, you know, it's just like, because yeah, that's how I'll be. I'm like, you didn't pass your test.
Well, I think also college, money on it was just shit. Like college. I wanted to go to college. I mean, if I had had the money, I would be like getting my PhD still, probably, like, you know. But it's just it's whether college, I think, is a lot more if you want to be there. Or I had a direction too. Like I knew what I wanted to be doing, you know, and I had something I wanted to be doing. But
that to me is the worst when I see people go to college and they're still trying to find
undecided.
I don't know if I'm being an asshole, but if I am, that's okay. But when I'm like, when you're spending money to go to a college and people are just like, I don't know, I'm just going to go try some stuff. And that really annoys me a lot.
Yeah,
they don't know what
too.
Direction.
Well, and then there's some people who, you know, are more fortunate and their parents are just like, well, we saved this money for you to go to college, so you're going, you know. And then they just go because that's what their parents want them to do, you know. And then they're just like, why am I?
Yeah, because like that's
here?
The that's
because
the next
I'm
step.
Supposed to be here. And then it's just like, you know. Goes, I don't know.
Yeah, and I know that I know not a lot of people. There's lots of people that can't go to college and stuff like that, and that's, you know, that's totally fine.
Yeah,
you know, that's cool because like really a lot of times you don't even really need to go to college if what you're looking for is not in the college.
Right,
you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe.
Right. I
went to
I
community
like
college,
learning.
So
yeah,
it's fine. For 2 years.
Yeah, I like learning, and then VCU was. It's funny. I didn't even really want to go, but it's the only school that had. My program that I got into.
And it's in-state.
Like, and then it's like, it was only one of three schools I applied to even, you know, and it was the only school that had my program. And then it's like, well, you know, that like, then it was like, I didn't really like it my first semester. When I came back after Christmas break, it was, and it was only like a social thing that I didn't like about it.
Did you
it.
Stay in the dorms?
But,
did you do dorms?
Yeah, I stayed in the dorms.
I've
I was
never
Johnson
had,
Hall. And,
I've never had a dorm experience
VCU.
At all.
Oh, really? And then I was an RA for 2 years
really?
After that.
Oh.
So
remember, because
I spent a lot of time in dorms.
Remember, I've
yeah.
never, I didn't know you during college.
yeah,
we went
to
the same school. But
we
never,
didn't know each
but
other,
we
yeah.
never, I don't even think we were in the same, well,
yeah,
we,
I
we
stayed
probably
in
existed.
Johnson Hall and then I was an RA for 2 years in Rhodes Hall.
But I never knew you.
I was in Rhodes.
Yeah.
I think 14th floor.
Oh, okay. I was on the 7th floor my first year as an RA, and I was on the 16th floor the second year of my being an RA.
Do you think college is important for people? Sometimes they just need to leave town. That could be a thing too.
Right. I think college is important. I mean, I'm a firm believer in education.
Well, then you're biased.
If you, I mean, no. I feel like, and knowing this now after being, you know, I've always had this perspective since high school, definitely is when I really realized it, is that your knowledge is something people can never take it away from you. Once you know something,
dude, exactly.
It's in my brain.
Dude,
like, you can't take it away. And
that's
then,
exactly what I think.
After going through this artistic journey that I've been on, and I had nothing. I literally lost everything, and I was on the street for a long time. And it's like literally on the street. And when you are like laying on the street, that is like come to Jesus moment. You're laying on the street or in the park, you know, and you're like looking up at the sky and you're just kind of like, so this is what it's like to be homeless for something I truly believe in. And it's like, I was just telling Jesse this the other day, actually. And it's like, and you kind of think to yourself and you're like, and I'm not going to stop. Like, I'm not going to stop what I'm doing. Like, I believe so much in what I'm doing. I'm not going to stop. And then after that, you're just like, the reason I'm not going to stop is because of what I know, like the things I know in my brain, the things I know how to do. This, there is no other like conclusion I can come to than this is going to be temporary.
Yeah.
And so lo and behold, I fought through it. And, you know, building up from so homeless is such a long process and grueling in its own way. But it's whatever. It's like, I literally have no fear of anything anymore, because it's like, well, I know what that's like. Yeah. So it's like, that's as bad as it gets, really. Like, so
there's only
until our
there's
country
only up, yeah.
Until our country gets taken over by
by the water bugs in Brooklyn.
Then you're like, I thought oh I God. Knew. You're like, I thought I knew hell, but this is new hell. No, but that's the thing. Yeah, knowledge is power. And I think it's always, knowledge is really great. And that's why I feel like
knowledge truly is, it truly is power.
It's incredible, because I feel like,
and then it's about how you use
how
your power.
You use it.
Don't,
exactly.
You
don't
know, well,
take the opportunity.
You can destroy people with your power if you want, but I would rather lift them up.
Yeah. You can lift them up and then you can drop them down.
Yeah. No, none of that. work you lift with them up to help them be better.
You lift them up just to drop them
not
down.
Let the other media bullshit
let the just let your vengeance
drown them, you know.
Revenge is the dish best served cold. That's where our different perspective is.
I know, you're evil on the inside. That's where I guess that's probably how we balance out in a work sense, is that, you know, like
people are like,
bring it, you know,
I just have the evil idea, and then like it's always,
but I'm a dark realist too.
But whenever I bring the evil idea where it's just like, well, why don't we just get rid of him? And then people are just like, we can't do that. That's mean. Well, yeah. We need to do that, don't we? That will make our day
to do that.
That day will make our day better if we just neutralize the problem. Correct. And I'm like, you guys are just being too nice. Someone has to be step. See, this,
like,
is-
we could change the lighting and make this much more dramatic.
They're like, well, this yeah. They're like, well, we can do like in a situation like this. I've done this.
You have a lava. I'd like to really get every word very.
I've done this with Brian many times. We always talk about Brian, but we have the best situations like this, where like, I'm like, oh man, sorry. Like, he set up his lights. Everything's looking great, uh-huh. And he looks at it, and he knows what I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say. Do it again. Do it over. I'm gonna say, break it down. Let's do it this instead.
Yeah, play it
and
again.
That's the worst thing to say, because he knows that means effort.
Yeah,
and he knows I'm not afraid of saying like, good practice, team. Do mm-hmm. it again.
Yeah,
and that's not easy to say, but that's the one. A nice person, a purely nice person that's just worrying about feelings. It's hard for them to say that. Like, right. This is the situation. What I need when I say it's evil, mm-hmm. I usually play that as just pure comedy gold. Because evil, in a way,
whatever. I love your evilness.
But like, to me, it's like this. Say I need to tell someone. Like, even when you're, remember the constant things we always say when we're directing models is like, all right, suck it in, boobs out.
Yeah.
You know, suck
and
it in,
arch your back.
And arch your back. but if you think about it, a person who's ashamed, because you know what literally you're
face
saying.
Down.
Yeah, well. Yeah. But like, you know, but literally what you're saying, what I feel like what we're really saying is like. You're not thin enough, you don't have ass, and you don't have boobs.
Yeah.
And in the harshest way, that's how I would say it, because it makes the image better.
Yeah.
But literally, that's, to me, in the most evilest terms, it, you know, it's Carolyn's favorite line, you're not good enough.
You're not good enough.
But like, you don't have to...
Well, you know?
But like, those are the words. When you direct a person, you gotta be honest if they know it's a team effort.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Because the thing is, no one's fucking perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You just gotta... You gotta understand that we're creating something.
No one's perfect. That's my favorite reality of life.
No one's perfect, but imperfectness is perfect.
Imperfectness, yeah. Like, John Legend got something right there.
What? Yeah, that's that where that comes from?
Yeah, that's... Well,
you're
no,
like,
you know that...
John
it's
Legend
weird
for
because,
all
you know, this song, it's one of the songs I really like it. And it's like, he talks about your perfect imperfections, because I feel like there is something like... When you're, you know, whatever. I mean, well, I guess you guys both have your loves of your life, but it's like when you're thinking of someone who's the love of your life, it's like you kind of have to have compatible imperfections, you know?
Or a great sense of humor.
Yeah, or that. But it's like, you know, you have to be able to deal with someone's flaws for sure. Like, you can't, like, there are certain things about me that are my flaws that would drive one person
what are your
up
flaws,
the wall.
Lauren?
And
Lauren, what are your flaws?
I've got a whole list of them.
What's your top five
there
flaws?
There are some people who could like definitely...
They like love it.
Lauren, what's your top
or
five flaws?
Or not love it necessarily. Or yeah, maybe they love it.
Yeah.
Like for some people, the fact that I love like hip hop and rap is a total flaw to people.
Sure.
You know, like I've definitely talked to people and they're like, you or that I love go-go music. Like some people are like... The best actually comment came from a girl actually, but she was like, "It's just so aggressive go-go music."
Is go-go music aggressive?
And well, I can
like
see in certain some it doesn't sound like that, but like I love go-go music, and it's like someone who I'm with for the rest of my life. Like it is, it's gonna be like I am. There are going to be many many moments where I'm going to be in the house and I'm going to crank the stereo up and I'm going to dance around to hip hop or go-go or whatever, like other music, you know? And it's like, if you don't like hip hop or you don't like go-go, well then you have no business dating me or getting anywhere close to me for a long period of time, because it's like, that is going to be an unavoidable thing. Like I can't change that about my life. I really like that stuff, you know?
But you know what's gonna happen, then,
right? To some people, that's a flaw. You know.
But you know what's gonna happen? We were talking about this before. It's like, The opposites attract thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm going to fall in love with a country music star
that like despises go-go.
That'd be so awesome.
But you know, but this is usually how I tell this story.
But all musicians like I definitely despise another music.
Country music.
But what I'm saying is what happens is the person that you fall for is that complete opposite. But what happens is the longer you're together, you guys influence each other so much that then it switches.
It becomes hip hop.
And then what?
Like that person likes go go, then you like country a whole lot because then you start seeing the good things.
Well, I guess
I'm not saying country in general. I'm just saying the missing links in general.
Why does country music always get put up to battle against all these other ones?
Well, I grew up. I have family who's in the South, and I've worked with many people in country, Southern rock music kind of stuff, and I definitely have a great respect for, certain music, but
I love it.
Certain twangy stuff.
The twangier the
better. I'm not trying to, rock it in my car on repeat. I'm not trying to, make sure it's on my iPod.
That's when the hip hop comes in. Then you guys both will jive with it.
Maybe. I think Kenny Chesney is someone who really tried to merge country music with hip hop.
He's like the country music Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah. But
at least now.
But then it's like, he's also kind of pop oriented,
Yeah.
And stuff. But I don't know. Yeah.
See, I feel like the way I see this concept is like you said, like a person, you can't be with a person that's not going to like go-go. Remember we were talking about this, like the be careful what you wish for thing.
Yeah.
It's like I see two things happening. Either you get with someone who's really into go-go mm-hmm. more than you are, that it ruins go-go for you.
Well, no.
That's just a potential.
But
that's a potential.
I just want someone with balance. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Or there's a person that's the complete opposite that doesn't like go-go. But then there's something
like
about
an oboe.
Or they can just appreciate it. They don't have to be like all about it, but they can just be like, I see what you like.
But what I'm saying is that
I don't mind that you play it for 30 minutes. No, go ahead, girl.
That's what I'm saying. That's the great part about that story. It's like that person's like, I know she really likes go-go and I hate go-go so much, but I like her. You know what? Yeah. And I'm willing to listen to this
like
go-go.
Like me for me, not yeah. like go-go music playing ability.
Yeah.
Well, I can't really play go-go, but I can definitely insert a CD and press the play button.
But see, I think liking, like, you don't have, like, a supposed flaw.
How do you not like it is the thing. I don't understand.
Well, that's the best part.
It's definitely, a lot of people say to me it's a regional thing. It's definitely, if you grow up in D.C. or outside, I grew up outside of D.C., but I was in D.C. all the time. And, like,
who really grows up in D.C.?
There's a lot of people. But like, that's how we get the culture of D.C. Yeah, yeah. But it's like, I grew up with, parents that definitely were, like, my stepdad from a very, once he said to me, I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, because I would always play in the woods, and he'd said at one point, he was like, why don't you go take the metro somewhere? And I was
is that how they talk?
I was, yeah, sometimes, yeah, that's when he's getting fresh.
That's
yeah.
very, that's like the Tiffany voice, but being very bitchy about it.
Why don't you go?
But I was like, I'm allowed to do that? And then it was like, once I knew that, I was like, sweet. So it was like, you take the metro and you go downtown, and you walk around or whatever, or if you go to something that was at RFK, growing up or whatever you do, they're the kids that play on buckets, and it's like, I feel like that's a huge place, other than Chuck Brown, obviously, but that's where like go-go really is in the culture of DC with that. And like, it's the thing that makes me so happy, and all my poor travels coming home to DC, it's like, I have nothing, but I have that. Like, you come home and you're just like, oh, they're playing on the buckets outside the metro. Like, I'm still alive. Like, I'm still on Earth, Like, it's
Lauren, have you heard of the Sonic Highways series that HBO is doing right now with Dave Grohl?
No, what is it? Yeah, Dave Grohl's your man, huh?
Yeah, like, Dave Grohl is from Foo Fighters. He has a TV series on HBO, and they're recording, like, a whole new Foo Fighters album. And apparently they go to one major city for each song.
Oh.
So they've hit up New York.
Okay. We can watch it when we're done here.
He LA. Mentioned this to me, but keep
but
going.
But the DC one does talk about Chuck Brown and basically and it's like the punk and go-go scene.
Okay, yeah, 90s punk scene. Because
they
were saying, was insane.
They also
the, you mean
have
the 70s punk scene.
Well, 70s, yeah, but yeah. 90s
They had
too.
Nashville, Austin,
they talk
New
about
Orleans.
Bad Brains and how
they talk about the Bad Brains. Bad Brains. We should watch it. We'll watch
I
it after this.
I still love the Bad Brains.
If you have time, we watch it. It's only 45 minutes long. But like,
yeah.
What
a great series.
Yeah.
But what you described, it's in, you know, go-go is your thing.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
but
one of my things.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's just your
love,
blood, you know.
Ross Leege is this guy around DC now, and he's combining go-go with reggae, and I'm here to tell you that, because reggae is all reggae too. That is something that's another thing just like this. That's a perfect example. I was chilling with this guy and I'm like, you know, he's really cute. He asked me out on a nice little date or whatever, and
sexy.
We're back at his apartment and he's like, well, it wasn't really sexy, but it was like, you know, he's like, I'm gonna put some music on, you know, what do you want me to put on? And I was like, you know, put on whatever, and then he's like, what do you like? I was like, well, I like pretty much everything, you know, whatever. And he was like, what do you want to listen? I was like, you like reggae? Like, you put on some reggae. And he was like, eh. And I was like, oh, this is never
you're
gonna
like,
work.
You're like deal breaker.
Yeah, it's super deal breaker. Like, you don't like reggae. You can't listen to reggae for 30 minutes. Like, this is not gonna work.
Yeah,
this is not gonna work.
I love that. Like,
what do you want to listen to?
I love that it gets right down to that moment. Just like as soon as you
like
turn on the
deal breaker moment.
Yeah, like that is a huge. I mean, that's my life.
Like,
and
music is your deal breaker.
I mean, that's one of them. That and you know,
for me, it might be like smoking.
Smoking. I mean, cigarettes. I don't smoke cigarettes. And it's like,
well, cigarettes are horrible, Lauren.
I know. And
you missed the
part of me thinks I could date someone that did, but. You know, the older I get, the more I'm just like, I don't know if I could.
But the thing is,
you
have to like kiss them. It smells on their clothing, or if like hopefully they're not smoking inside a house.
It definitely would drive me to be less intimate with them.
Yeah,
you don't want.
Yeah, that's
like,
a good point. That's a point that I didn't bring up.
I don't want to cuddle up next to their nasty all, and you don't want to be like, baby, go take a shower before you cuddle with me. Like,
yeah. And then also they have to go outside every hour to go smoke and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not smoking in the house because that is not cool.
Some people do, man.
I know a lot of people. I have many friends that still smoke in their places.
Dude, when I've seen, like, in high school, when I saw cheerleaders smoking, I was like, way to destroy the fantasy
there.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Cheerleaders.
I think that
cheerleader
is, like,
smoking.
That's a deal breaker.
That is
me.
A deal breaker. It's a deal breaker for me.
It's like you're going to have to quit.
Even though I am surrounded by a lot of people that do smoke. But
it's like, yeah, that's the thing with me is I'm not one to, like, make someone change. I'm not going to be like, you need to quit. I'm just going to be like, well, you're out. I'm not going to, like, be like, I can't date you because you smoke. I'm just going to be like, it's just not going to work.
Trying to hide their cigarettes and stuff.
She's just not that into you.
I'm just not that into you.
It's not worth that much.
And then if
they're
like, what is it? I'd be like, the cigarettes don't help, you know.
And then like, I can quit right now for you. Like, no, you won't.
I'd be like, that's kind of
I think
weird.
Some guys would.
Yeah, I hope so.
I think some guys, if it's something
if
where
it,
a guy
like, really
was already trying
to
quit or something like that.
It might actually inspire them to quit.
I think that's one of the most romantic things to see is when someone puts the work in.
Yeah.
To me, that's what it is.
One of the craziest things that crossed my mind as romantic the other day.
Go ahead.
I was working with someone. He actually... So I was working with someone, and he was telling me.
I was working with somebody.
So
that guy.
You were working. You were working.
Like putting whatever. So it's he was telling me though that his mom had like these really really like she kept going to the hospital, and she was like on these like nebulizers and stuff, like really sick, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And when they finally figured out what it was, they figured out she was allergic to like. Whatever was in these like wreaths, she had all these wreaths all over their
house,
a
Christmas
and like kind of like evergreens. I don't know if they were like dried, whatever it was, you know.
Yeah.
But they realized she's allergic to this stuff, and after like years, it sounded like that this woman was dealing with this. The husband just like goes straight home from the doctor and is like ripping down like all the wreaths out of the house, just like cleared it all out, and like the
bonfire.
Way this guy was telling it, I was like, that's so romantic, you know. But it's because
like saving his wife.
You know, it was like this whole different, like, it wasn't like it wasn't like a need to be strong to save someone and protect someone. It was like, oh my god,
I'm getting the kryptonite out of the house.
Yeah. And I was just like, that's so romantic. And he looked at me like, that's romantic. I'm like, but yeah, it is. It's like, you're looking out for that person's best interest. And after years of like, but so such an emotional thing watching someone be that ill for so long, you know, like that you're finally like, we've solved the problem. Like, you know, and go like, rip all the wreaths down.
I actually think that's really like when people put work into like situations like that, that is extremely romantic to me.
Yeah.
To see effort is great because there's a lot of lazy people out there these days. A lot of people that don't want to put the work in. And I that's an instant like turn off for me when I'm just like, oh, you just sat there and did nothing. It's like if you're not willing to put as much energy that I do, then don't even. That's the same thing with anything in life.
Doing nothing is
fucking horrible.
It's unattractive.
And I'm always like, you know, dumbfounded by people who call themselves lazy. You know,
me too. And but I know a lot of people.
You know, I know a lot of people that say that. Maybe some people are listening
like
to this.
They like boast about being lazy.
Like, I'm lazy or and stuff like that. And
just
you know,
like, really, that's what you do with your time.
And I'm a you know. Well. At this point, people know that I'm going to speak out about stuff like that.
But it's just like, that's not someone who I want to spend my time with. Like,
yeah. But I do love it when people realize they're
not a romantic interest quality.
This is true. Because you know they're just going to sit there on their ass.
Yeah.
But like, it is good when you see them, like when they want to do something with their life and they do start to make effort.
Yeah.
That's good to
see.
That
is good to see.
That's just like that at the end of 40-Year-Old Virgin. No, not 40-Year-Old Virgin. Knocked Up.
Oh, Knocked Up. Yeah, I've seen that movie. No. I've seen both those movies.
Yeah.
That's a rare thing for me
to see movies in one sentence
that someone's
in
talking
one reference.
About. Yeah, one reference.
I'm a big fan of that effort, you know.
But also, 40-Year-Old Virgin, it was also like she changed up. She was like, what? No sex? But then she was like, kind of rolled with it, you know?
Yeah.
She,
not the end of the world.
Because she really
him
loved him
for,
yeah,
other things.
For other things.
Took the effort. See, they took the effort too. Just take a little effort.
A little bit of effort.
You can go a long way. A little bit of effort. A small step every single day.
A little bit of effort does go a long way.
It does go a long, long way.
Yeah. Like, how do you even meet somebody, or how do you even know somebody if you don't just be like, hey?
If you don't invest, invest. If you don't invest into the relationship, right?
That's like me. I'm like,
Lauren's blushing over here. Lauren is blushing and cracking up like crazy for
I'm like thinking of an actual instance.
Well, didn't you say in like a previous episode of our podcast?
Probably.
But like you're so outgoing. Like you can basically talk to almost anybody.
Yeah.
And even with your like journalist background, you know, you can talk to anybody. But then if there's a guy that you have a crush on,
you can't talk.
Freeze up.
Yeah, I do. I totally
see,
freeze
that's
up.
What I'm saying. The opposites. This is what happens, man. The opposites. Those are the most romantic things, man. Things that feel like they're not meant to be.
Yeah.
And if this was if we were writing a screwball comedy, the two people that hate each other in the beginning of the story, at the end of the story, they love each other.
Oh, but see, I don't think I could imagine. I can't imagine being with someone who I hated.
Exactly, dude. Taming of the Shrew, dude.
Oh,
Shakespeare.
No.
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare, motherfucker. Taming of the Shrew. 10 things I hate about you. That's what happens, dude. That's what happens. That's exactly what happened. Shakespeare is right.
What about just like getting the nice guy? Didn't the nice guy comes and ask you on a date? And
yeah, but here's the best thing.
A lot of guys,
these tough ass guys will put up a front.
What I'm saying is this.
This is what happens.
Come on, baby.
This is what happens. If you want a life full of surprises, this is probably what can happen. If I'm writing it and I'm a really messed up person before the show ends, this is how this happens. You meet a nice guy. What's the surprise? He ends up being an asshole. You meet an asshole guy, and then he ends up being nice.
I know that some...
These twists and turns in life, man.
Some guys who are...
That's why I'm fucking evil, dude.
The balance. Can't you just, like, have a balance?
That is the balance.
You're pretty much a nice guy, but then sometimes you, like...
Lauren, that's the equinox.
An asshole when it's necessary.
No, exactly. That's the equinox. If people have that power...
Yeah, like when someone's breaking into my house, can you go
be fucking murder
a
motherfucker,
me,
right? Yeah.
Baby.
Be a fucking murderer
like,
at that point.
You have my permission to be an asshole now.
You're like,
I'll grab you the kitchen knife if you need it, honey.
I'm the guy
that's... I don't want to call you a murderer, but...
But that's what I was saying.
Go ahead and do what you gotta do.
With the insects, though, they come in the house. It's fair game at that point.
And this is why, and this is, and this is why lots of, maybe lots of people, they,
you can
they,
pee on them.
Maybe this is why they do like, they do like the Tiffany's of the world who talk like that, who are over, because maybe in the back of people's heads, they're always like, oh, maybe she is nice, like outside of that character, you know, she's not so annoying. When, at home, that, like what you're talking, when it's real, she doesn't act like that.
Yeah.
But people want to see the heart of gold.
Assholes, I generally just kind of put that arm up, like.
You stiff arm.
You can. You know, I don't even arm. Like to work with assholes, like, you know. So
sometimes you see a little crack.
If you're an asshole and you want me, you better really.
You better work.
You better work. You better put that charm. Turn that charm knob up and hot notch or 10.
Oh, they'll sneak it in.
They're really an asshole and they're just fake nice to get me, and then I'm real. Then I figure it out and I'm like, kick your ass to the curb.
You're never gonna figure it out. There's no figuring it out.
Well, if you can keep that under wraps for the next 75 years that we're married, good luck.
There you go. Lauren, what's your website? Tell the world.
Twitter at Lauren Jaslow.
Yeah.
LAURE.
What about Instagram? You're on Instagram too, right?
Oh yeah, I am. I just got back on. It used to be private, but now it's public. So it's Lauren_Jaslow_SnarkyStudios.
There you go.
Because I am Snarky Studios, and I also am Lauren Jaslow.
Wow.
And I'm in the process of merging the two together so that the world understands what I've been doing.
Well, thanks for joining us, Lauren. Of course,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah. I love you guys. You guys are like fam.
And of course, you know the show. The show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check out that work, their work, all their work, everything they do at StrayProductions.com. Also, go to GoAstray.tumblr.com to see the most up-to-date work that I do and Joe. And that Astray Productions does. Also, JoeCarabello.com. Check out my personal work somewhere. Also, check out one-shots.com. All these .coms. That's where you check out my films. Check out my band, MickeyandMallory.com. Check out Carolyn's work at curls-studio.com/curls. Or it's just a slash. What else, Carolyn?
Well, I think we should say early happy Christmas to everybody.
Early happy Christmas,
oh,
everyone.
Yeah. Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays across.
I mean, I don't want to like just say Merry Christmas, but yeah. Happy holidays there and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, jingle bells to everyone.
That's right.
We'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week. Thank you, Lauren. And
yeah, and I guess for me, Happy New Year. That's my favorite thing always.
Yeah.
New Year. And
New Year's is my favorite.
My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
See y'all later. Be excellent. Ah. Be excellent to each other.
I love that.